The Road to Hell by ACI 100, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. In the description, you can find links to the author and narrator's websites. There you can find more stories that he has written, and more stories that I have narrated, respectively. Also linked are our Patreon pages, which we encourage you to visit if you would like to support us. To hear this and many other stories recorded live, visit my Discord server. For discussion of the many works of the author, visit his Discord server. Special thanks to Sakiko and Athena Hope. Music by Coag. If you have enjoyed this chapter, please subscribe, like, and comment. Of all of the people mentioned in this video, only J.K. Rowling owns Harry Potter. And finally, as always, thank you for listening. Chapter 33. When first we practiced to deceive. Venator involvement sparks new wave of public outcry. Last night, Venators were officially deployed on British soil and Last night, Venators were officially deployed on British soil en masse for the first time in almost 20 years. Under the cover of darkness, two squadrons converged upon the nation's capital to lift what was beginning to resemble a siege as witches and wizards pushed violently towards Buckingham Palace. Un momento, as well. The riot began soon after Muggles let loose explosives just outside Diagon Alley. Four wizards and twice as many Muggles died in that blast, and the famed Leaky Cauldron suffered severe damages that thus far have kept... and the famous Leaky Cauldron suffered severe damages that have thus far kept the well-loved landmark closed. This particular revolt on the magical side took central stage. This particular revolt on the magical side took center stage when a group of Aurors died in an attempt to keep the peace, and a second squadron was left no choice but to retreat. The large crowd of witches and wizards amassed in London was scattered when the Venators launched an ambush. Was scattered when the Venators launched an ambush late last night. I hope this is the last time the Order of Merlin is for. I hope this is the last time the Order of Merlin is forced to intervene. First Lady Dorea Potter said this morning. It pains my husband and I both to see Britain in this state, and I hope that valuable lessons have been learned during this madness. Dozens have been taken into custody, and still more were transported to St. Mungo's. We have been told there were no casualties during the skirmish. Harry frowned down at the Daily Prophet. Recent reports had numbered the rioters somewhere in the hundreds. No conflict involving a side that large ended without casualties, especially not when the fighting happened after dark. His stomach clenched with guilt. It meant things were getting bad if cover-ups were entering the fold. Nothing else since his arrival had so obviously been censored. Harry flexed his fingers underneath the table. Soon it would no longer matter. The chaos that was fast approaching would be the end of it. Too many people had died in the pursuit of Riddle. No matter what it took, he would ensure no more lives were lost. He headed for the Great Hall's exit when the bell signifying breakfast's conclusion sounded. It was a Sunday, so there were no classes. Given the task he faced, a day shut up honing wand work would not go amiss. Harry faltered just short of the Great Hall's double doors. Three of the marauders were loitering in front of him. Indecision whether to walk past or hang back until they left froze him. Someone collided with his rear, then steadied him with a strong hand. Sorry. Sirius? A pang knifed through his chest. They had hardly shared a word since things had devolved with James. The black air was gone before he could say so much as a word. Having raised a hand to forestall Sirius without realizing, Harry let it fall limply to his side and heard the telltale rustling of parchment. The first sheet he read once up in the room of requirement with The first sheet he read once up in the room of requirement was from Sirius himself. Harry, meet me at the edge of the Forbidden Forest tonight once dinner's finished. James has a meeting with the headmaster, so he'll be out of the way. I hope to see you soon, Sirius. The second sheet contained a wall of writing that would have meant nothing to Sirius had his curiosity gotten the best. Harry had the cipher, and it took him almost 10 minutes to decode the message. Tonight at 9 o'clock, make sure you leave the grounds before you activate the portkey. The phrase is Corvus. He plucked up a cloak pin in the shape of a raven with its... He plucked up a cloak pin in the shape of a raven with its wings down... He plucked up a cloak pin in the shape of a raven with its wings outstretched that had been tucked into the roll of parchment. Grim satisfaction thrummed through him like an electric current. It was about time. The magic thrumming through the wand she held moved, soundless as a shadow. Yet to her its current was a symphony. Where it had reminded her of unsteady gusts 3 weeks ago... Where it had reminded her of unsteady gusts 3 weeks ago, now its tones evoked a summer breeze and the rustling of green leaves. Narcissa frowned down at the wand. She should have heard the unbroken howling of wind across an open field. The imperfection nagged at her. Viella would have told her that intent was... Viella would have told her the intent was to mend, not perfect. That had been among his first lessons. Strive for the intent without becoming snagged on the ideal. Her frown twitted into a scowl. That was one thing for an artificer to say. She was an artist and an enchantress. Yet I can't name an enchantress who could do this. She rolled the wand across her palm, unable to deny the swell of satisfaction. How few hands had accomplished what hers had. It was fulfilling, she could admit that. Artless, sure, yet engaging in a way slaving over common trinkets seldom was. Where enchanting was a leisurely stroll along a glorious ocean road, this had been a daring hike straight up an ugly cliff. No pleasure came from the act itself. Finishing it, though, there was a certain rush she had not felt in quite some time, except for when she had examined the sword of Godric Gryffindor. Narcissa smothered that well of thought and padded Narcissa smothered that well of thought and padded lightly down to Lotus. Narcissa smothered that well of thought and padded lightly down to L'Artificier's ground floor. Reflection was at a Reflection was a steep slope that required care. Her moods turned bitter too often these days. Viels? Viela swept aside a stack of parchments as she closed his study's door. Narcissa was beginning to think the only reason he had accepted her at his... Narcissa was beginning to think the only reason he had accepted her at his... Narcissa was beginning to think the only reason he had accepted her as his apprentice was so he could spend more time nose deep in his extensive readings. How has your work been treating you? I've repaired the wand. The French flowed easily from her, as it had for the last fortnight. That first week, well, she had been out of practice and the less said... about how badly the better. Viella held out a hand. "May I?" She passed it over and watched him study it from all angles. "Magnifique," he said at last. "This is excellent." "This is excellent?" Narcissa sniffed. It not sound as condescending as she had been aiming for. "It is imperfect." "It is a perfect job, if not a perfect wand." Viella passed it gently back to her. "I will let you return this to Madame Moulet when she next returns." "I will let you return this to Madame Moulet when she next returns to inquire about our progress." Narcissa examined the mended wand and... Narcissa reclaimed the mended wand and tucked it gingerly into a pocket of her robes. "Merci. Though that was a simple fix, if any restoration of a damaged wand can be considered simple, and you have not yet learned these subtler lessons that I hope to teach you. Your talent is indisputable." This time her bearing fell easily into regal condescension. "You've made no effort to teach me. You've just encouraged..." "You've just encouraged me to strive for less, then handed me a wand to fix without instruction." Viella folded both hands on the desk in front of him. "Did you not learn from the experience?" Narcissa crossed her arms. "I learned nothing I could not have taught myself." That knowing smile spread across Viella's face. "You wonder why I have not yet taught you in the way you yearn for. And then you clamber onto your high horse and sneer down your nose at me." "I've not clambered onto anything. All I'm doing is telling you the truth. You said that was what you wanted when my apprenticeship began." "Oui?" Her right eye twitched. "Oui, is that it?" She regretted the outburst the second it had left her lips. Presenting unyielding patience and implacability was... Presenting unyielding patience and implacability was one of Viella's favorite tricks. It was among the oldest in the book, and it should never have earned a rise from her. "I'm not myself," she thought. It was too humid in this forsaken city, and she was nearing her wit's end. She had woken up that morning drenched in sweat. The frustrated yearning in her gut had almost been enough to make her sick. Thinking about that had just raised her hackles higher. "Longing over trinkets like a spoiled schoolgirl." How low she had fallen. "Damn you, Malcolm Wren, whatever your name is." If the world was just, he was making Riddle's life a living hell right now. She felt it was only fair that she hoped he'd... She felt it was only fair that she hoped he took some knocks and bruises in the... She felt it was only fair that she hoped he took some knocks and bruises in the process. Wren's ego was large enough already, fleeing behind her skirts when he was wounded, then dropping her like an ugly doll when she was no longer needed. Men. "When you learn to understand that yours is not the only truth, then and only then will I teach you in the way you have been hoping for," Viella said. "Damn him too," she thought while storming from La... L'Artificier 10 minutes later. "Damn all men. They were arrogant, self-centered blockheads, the lot of them." Almost all of them, at least. Her grandfather had put her first, as he always did. Perhaps there was an age when men gained the gift of mindfulness. The humid air closed in like a sopping vice when she stepped out onto the cobbled sidewalk. The air was no cooler for the layer of clouds or the faint breeze. Sweat trickled down the rows of most she passed, and over half their number reeked like rowdy teenage boys. It was hard to believe how reverently she had worshipped Paris. It was the city of love and capital of enchanting. As a girl, she had dreamt of kissing strong men atop the Eiffel Tower, and as a woman, she had hoped to put down roots and grow famous here. How ugly the truth could be. It was almost enough to convince her no dreams came true. Had she been of lesser stock, the disappointment might have crushed her. Thankfully, she was Narcissa Black, daughter of the noble and most ancient House of Black. She would carve out everything she wanted, no matter what cesspit she was stuck in. She pushed open a glass door and stepped into a quaint store selling high-end clothes. A bell tinkled at her back as she looked up and down the rows of racks and hangers.
"Bonjour, mademoiselle."
A young woman in a cream-colored dress that went well alongside her brown hair and olive skin stepped up to greet her.
"You have to pick up your order?"
Narcissa smiled, the first genuine smile she had worn all day.
"Oui, Madame Labaudet."
No.
"Oui, Madame Labaudet. Calypso Jorquil, no?"
No, wait.
"Calypso Jorquil, no?"
Her mouth tightened.
"Oui."
The alias Viela had selected for her had never felt like such a slap in the face. The alias Viela had selected for her had never felt like such a slap in the face.
"I will bring it out to you."
Madame Labaudet glided through a door along the rear wall and vanished out of sight.
Calypso, indeed.
Narcissa seethed, unable to shake the twisted joke out of its prominent position in her... Unable to shake the twisted joke out of its prominent position in her thoughts. Malcolm Wren was no Odysseus, and she would rather kick him where it hurt than make love to him. Yet she could not deny the irony of her current moniker. If her great-aunt Dorea was responsible, she would wring her neck the next time they met. Madame Labaudet returned with a silk bag full of airy robes.
"This is yours, mademoiselle." "Merci."
Narcissa passed over a small handful of aurums.
"Keep the change, madame."
She deserved it for cultivating one of the few gems Narcissa had found amidst... the stinking city. It was midday, and the sidewalks were lined with crowds of people in great hurries to go on with their mundane lives. All the diners that appealed to her were overflowing. The outdoor eateries with tables up for grabs were of no temptation. Between the weather and unrest, she would rather kiss one of the balding men in front of her than eat along a central street.
The best she could find among her slim pickings was a small, dim diner containing little in the way of open space. Its spindly tables and rigid, high-backed chairs were packed so tightly that neighboring parties could convert them. Neighboring parties could converse in quiet voices just above a whisper. She chose a spot nestled in one of the corners, far away from the majority of customers. That was the upside. The downside was that a quartet of Muggle teenagers were conversing without regard for common courtesy three tables to her right. The boys were slim and dark-haired, dressed in shirts with high collars that looked prepared to strangle them. Narcissa flagged down a waiter who was dressed in a shirt not unlike the boys. Mademoiselle. The young man made a clumsy bow and placed her menu on the table. She could hear the four boys snickering behind his back. Can I get you anything to drink?
Water, please, with ice if possible.
He made another awkward bow. Right away, mademoiselle. She skimmed through the menu while the waiter rushed off to fetch her drink. If this city had a single saving grace, it was the food.
Are you going to ask her?
She heard one of the boys whisper as she perused the menu.
Come on, she's like, I don't know, 5 years older than me.
So, imagine the looks you get if you turned up to the next school dance with her.
Are you kidding?
A third voice chimed in.
Gabe has no chance, look at her.
She had long ago learned not to blush in these situations. Harder to resist was the urge to glare. Did they have no manners? The heat really was taking a heavy toll on her. They were Muggle teenagers. What else had she expected?